Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true Sell or Diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet,
what are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. What would you say to someone who's thinking about, you know, starting a business but out as a project to, like, figure it out? What should they, when would they know it's right to, like, take that leap?
Yeah. So there is a product development term, or maybe it's an entrepreneurship term, I'm not sure, but the MVP, it's the minimum viable product.
Yep.
And I am just such a huge fan of that concept.
Okay.
And so I'm a really big believer of whatever your idea or your whatever your idea is, figure out the minimum you can get it together, whether it's a physical thing or whether it's, like, you know, mine was an event. Figure out the minimum thing and then just put it into the world. And whether you're getting a wait list or pre-orders or people are buying it, you know, I think for me, it gave me a lot of confidence to start Skillpop that I had done that MVP of a first class and seen it fill up in 24 hours and heard people
24
hours. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I had heard people saying, when will the next one be? And, oh, you should definitely be charging for this. And so I had enough of that feedback on that early thing that I knew, okay, this isn't just a good idea for me. Like, other people think this
want
is a good idea too, and they want it and they're interested in it.
Wow. And so, okay, initially you had a small following because you were working and creating that, but how did you get the word out there?
So we have done a couple of things. From early on, I worked really hard to build a social media presence and then to have a consistent email campaign.
Okay.
And so from day one, it was like just me in the beginning. But from day one, I really pushed people, you know, sign up for the newsletter. That is where you will hear about classes first. That's still true today. And so it's really paid off as things like Instagram algorithms have changed.
Yes.
And as the way you reach people has shifted and changed a little bit. But we've always funneled people to hear about classes through the newsletter. So that's one big piece. But, you know, through social media, I think our company is very community-based. And so I've looked at our marketing in that way, too. You know, every time someone comes on and teaches with us, they are buying into our community and they're talking about our community. So it's not just been me with a megaphone saying Skillpop, Skillpop, Skillpop. It's been a lot of people, you know, talking to their network about whatever class they're teaching. And then the people who are going to the classes are talking about it too. So we have gotten really a good word of mouth build from the beginning. And we try and do things intentionally to use that, to help it go further, to encourage that, all of those things. Yeah.
That's awesome. What's the craziest class you've ever hosted in Skillpop?
Oh, that's a great question. Craziest class. There are definitely classes that I did not, wouldn't have ever guessed we would have done. You know, I could have predicted the photography and marketing basics and things like that. The one that is my example over and over again is we do a class on how to raise backyard chickens about once a year.
What?
It is.
Adam
it is
has
on,
chickens.
It's on a farm in downtown Matthews. And I don't know if you know this, but baby chicks have a season. So it happens in April.
I did not know that.
If you want to raise chickens, you start in April. And so every April we work with Renfro Farms to do a class, and people come and they start the class out by passing around a live chicken. And they say, if you cannot handle holding a live chicken, then you need to think twice about your decision going forward.
Oh,
it is so fun. And it is just, you know, again, to me, it's like you can't replicate that experience in a YouTube. You can learn how to raise chickens elsewhere, but there's nothing like, you know, being in a 100-year-old hardware store in downtown Matthews, passing around a live chicken and hearing about what to do with it.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
You talked about most of these startups don't have a defined process. And yeah. your book, Addicted to the Process, is all about process as well. So what are some of the key factors and some of your strategies that go into play when you're building a process?
Well, the first thing that I need to do is I need to understand what problem the prospect has that they need to get solved. And that's going to be very different, obviously, depending on the industry and the product. Then I need to understand why that problem is important to fix. And I need to understand how I can create some urgency to fix that problem. And then I work with the team to simplify their solution in such a way that it doesn't overwhelm the prospect. And that's like the core for me of the process is find pain, build value, create urgency, discuss your solution. So that's the very first thing that I try to do. And I like the consistency and the repetition. You know, again, as an athlete, we all have like idiosyncrasies. You know, you put your right shoe on first, or if you're a baseball player or you watch baseball, you see the guys, you know, mess with their batting gloves and their helmet and tap the plate. It's all rhythm and consistency. And so that's what I want the teams that I work with to develop. I want them to do it, you know, relatively the same way over and over and over and over again until it becomes, you know, much more natural.
An athlete doing practicing their skill. But I want to ask you from a perspective of your athletic background, would you rather hire a salesperson that was an athlete, or would you find that the startup companies that you work with that have athletes in their management system respond better to your way of thinking?
Well, the first part is I love hiring former athletes, 100%. Team sports, individual sports, doesn't matter. I like the fact that they've, you know, disciplined themselves. They've worked extremely hard to become good at that particular sport. They've competed. They know how to win. More importantly, they know how to lose and how to forget about the loss so they can get ready for the next game. But I would not say that people who come from an athletic background, you know, respond better or worse to me than other people do.
But certainly they're coachable.
Well, not every athlete is extremely coachable.
Well, let me put it this way. They all have coaches.
But we don't know specifically on the list of those 200,000 people who's young, who considers themselves young, who's been, you know, selling for 25 years, and this wouldn't be the right webinar for them. We have no idea. So we're sending it out to our list and saying, like, if this isn't for you, pass it along to someone who it's for.
So imagine, here's a really cool thing that just is a thing you can maybe go and do. I'm sure loads of people watching and listening to this will be able to use this too. If you run webinars as well, let's tell you about a quick campaign we ran that really, one is really disruptive and no one's ever done before. Will that be useful? Was that okay if we go?
Yeah,
right,
please tell us.
Is that cool? All right, cool. I wasn't sure if that was going to break the format of your show. I didn't want to be like the new kids on the lock and be like, oh, break it.
You're going to have to go pretty far to fuck this up because we already started.
I think that was a challenge. I would have worn the dress. So what we do is when somebody registers for a webinar, we then immediately on that thank you page ask them to take a survey. And that survey basically asks them which of the, let's say we're going to make three major points on that webinar. We're going to make point A, point B, and point C, right? Usual format. We say to that each person who registers, which one of these three things is the most important thing to you right now? Which one is your biggest challenge or struggle right now? And they just check the box and submit, and they've completed a survey. Lovely. What we then do, because we obviously use Response Suite, which is our software, because Response Suite connects to our email marketing system, what we then do is every single email that we send them to make them show up to the webinar, because challenge number one is getting people to register for your webinar. Challenge number two is getting the people to show up to the webinar. And so what we do is every email in that show up to the webinar sequence is tailored depending on which of those one of those three things is most important to them.
Brilliant. Okay. There's a step in the middle, though. We want them to pay. So it's register, pay, and then answer the three questions.
It's on the thank you.
He didn't talk about pay.
So this is a paid webinar, is it?
Yeah, it's a paid webinar.
It's a paid webinar.
So we would use this in a slightly different place. We assumed it was a free one with a sales pitch at the end. That's how we would do it in that instance. Mm-hmm.
I'll just finish off that case study and then we'll
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
So imagine you're doing a free webinar. It's like the usual free content and then an offer at the end. So every single email you get from the moment of registering, you now tell us that the reason you're really going there is because of option B. Every email you get between now and that day of the webinar is customized based on the one thing. It ignores the other two things which are not as important to me and really focuses on the one thing that's really important to me. That's the same as that sales conversation that I had, which I said, hey, what's important to you right now? What's your biggest challenge with your events? And now I focus my entire sales pitch around that thing.
Got you.
It's the same thing, getting people to show up.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.